Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
According to the contemporary Orthodox Jewish scholar, H. Schimmel, no relation, okay? The Jewish people, quote, do not follow the literal word of the Bible, nor have they ever done so. They have been fashioned and ruled by the verbal interpretation of the written word. Another leading 19th century rabbinical authority says that the Talmud indicates that the words, quote, that were transmitted orally by God are, quote, more valuable, end quote, than the transmitted writing of Scripture. Isn't that interesting? The same authority goes on to say, quote, allegiance to the authority of the said rabbinical tradition is binding upon all the sons of Israel. Do you catch that? And you can see that with what's going on with Jesus' disciples, right? They're all upset because they're breaking the oral tradition. He goes on to say, and he who does not give adherence to the unwritten law, notice the unwritten law, and the rabbinical tradition has no right to share in the heritage of Israel. So to be an accepted religious Jew, you had to go by the, they claim it right there, the oral tradition, not just the Old Testament law. Even if the oral tradition contradicts the law. Well, certainly Corbin did. Nachmanides, another 13th century commentator, said, quote, even if it seems to you as if they are changing right into left, talking about the Jewish leadership, the traditions. Listen to what he says. Even if it seems to you that they're changing right into left, it is incumbent on you to think that they say is right is right. Why? Because the Spirit of God is on them and the Lord will keep them from error and from stumbling. In other words, just blindly accept your leaders, even if they say the left is really the right and it denies reality. Folks, can you understand? You know, we would never say here at Blessed Hope Chapel, hey, you know what? If we tell you that right is really left, even though you know right is right, believe us anyway, even if the Bible says something different, you would know right away that something is seriously wrong, right? Well, guess what, folks? In rabbinical teaching, you could contradict reality. If the oral tradition contradicted reality, you were to still follow it. In fact, I think it's really sad and interesting that we read in the Talmud that what if 1,000 prophets of the caliber of Elijah and Elisha tell you that the Torah means one thing, but 1,001, that's a majority, just one majority by one, sages, Jewish interpreters, tell you it means something else. Who should you follow? According to Moses Maimonides, the most influential medieval Jewish scholar, quote, the final ruling is in accordance with the 1,001 sages, claiming that the Talmud, even if it teaches contrary to what Elijah himself has taught, and it contradicts, and Elijah and 1,000 Elijahs and Elishas contradict rabbinic tradition, you must go with the rabbinic tradition and the majority. Absolutely amazing. According to the Talmud, this is interesting. Now, this is really interesting. In a dispute between Eliezer the Great and the sages about whether or not a particular kind of oven was ritually clean or unclean, he answered everyone's arguments to prove that it was one way, and they refused to accept his decision. So Rabbi Eliezer, then he called upon a series of miracles from God to verify his ruling. And it's interesting because he asked for a carob tree to be uprooted, and it was, according to Talmud, it actually happened. And let a stream stop flowing, and it certainly did. And the walls of a house of a study collapse, and it did, incredibly. The Talmud teaches that in spite of each miracle that happened, still the rabbis were to refuse those witnesses and go with what the sages, what the oral tradition has stated. And finally, Rabbi Eliezer calls upon God himself to verify his position, and a voice comes from heaven verifying Rabbi Eliezer's decision. Why are you troubling Rabbi Eliezer? The voice says from heaven, and after it verifies his position, the sages were still called to follow the sages. For instance, which Rabbi Joshua, who's arguing with Eliezer, exclaimed, quote, it is not in heaven, meaning, hey, you know what? The law that we're interpreting is on earth, and it trumps even a voice from heaven. It's interesting because one rabbi, according to the Talmud, the Talmud is the oral tradition of the Jews, right? It's like, I've seen it, man, and read some of it. It's 20, 30 some, it's many, many volumes long. I'll just say that. The text goes on to say that Elijah later informed one of the rabbis. Elijah came and talked to one of the rabbis and told him that God laughed about the incident, saying, quote, God says this supposedly, quote, my sons have defeated me, quote, end quote. Because all you really need is two sages, and they trump God, because all you need is a majority to say this is what it means. Does God run things by democracy, folks? No, look where our country's going, right? It's supposed to be a democratic republic. I forgot about the republic part. Think about it, man. Think about what's happening there. So according to Jewish oral tradition, the majority rules, and the majority trumps everything else. In fact, it's interesting. Speaking of the majority, the scriptures tell us in the book of Exodus, you shall not run with the majority to do evil. And you know what the Jews changed that to mean in the Talmud? You shall run with the majority. And Jewish scholars came out later and acknowledged that that was not an accurate translation. It says you shall not run with the majority. The Jews came out and changed it. You shall run with the majority unless it's to do evil. But you should always go with the majority, which, of course, would support their whole idea about what? Their whole idea about going with majority's decision as to any kind of rabbinical interpretation and going along with oral tradition. Now, I hope you can see from Jesus' argument on its face in itself, just the whole idea of Corban. In fact, it's Exodus chapter 23, verse 12. And I want to quote J.H. Hertz. He's the former chief rabbi of England. He wrote, quote, the rabbis disregarded the literal meaning. This is, now, know who this is. J.A. Hertz, the former chief rabbi of England, wrote, the rabbis disregarded the literal meaning of the last three words and took them to imply that except when it is to do evil, one should follow the majority. That's not what that text says. Obviously, you shouldn't do evil to run with majority, but you don't just run with majority whenever there's a majority. And that scripture has nothing to do with running with majority. It says not to run with the majority. This leading rabbi says they got it wrong. But they're concerned about that whole majority concept because they want majority to rule. And therefore, 1,001 sages trump 1,000 prophets and even God himself because they have the rule. They have the authority. Really, really sad. And when you look at Jesus' teaching, we see over and over again, it's as I said, it's either it is written, or he says, I say unto you. Well, what authority would he have to say, I say unto you? Because Moses said that a prophet would rise like him. Amen? And the scriptures prophesied that the Messiah would come. And Moses said, when the prophet arises like myself, you shall hear him or you shall die. And Jesus came with signs and wonders, fulfilling the messianic prophecies, bringing in the new covenant. So Moses brought the old, the Messiah was to bring in the new covenant. According to Daniel chapter 9, the Messiah would have to come and actually be cut off, put to death before the destruction of the second temple, right? And that's exactly what happened before the destruction of the temple. Otherwise, who's the Messiah? According to Daniel 9, the Messiah would have to come, and he was. There's many, many other proofs, Isaiah 53 and many other passages. But we have to be really careful ourselves about tradition in the church today. And we have to be very, very careful because now the Word of God is being disparaged, it's being forgotten, and people want to call their churches Christian and claim to follow Christ, but all kinds of strange things are going on. Some are quoting from the Quran with the Bible now. All kinds of crazy things. Go to Colossians chapter 2. And when you get there and you're in Colossians, I want you to go to chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the what? Tradition of men." See that? "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form." Folks, please, please, hopefully tonight's one of the things we're gaining in understanding is that it wasn't the Jews just having a different understanding of the Old Testament who the Messiah was. Jews had, there were all kinds of different Jews with all kinds of different beliefs. There were the Pharisees, there were the Sadducees, the scribes, the Herodians, the Hellenists, the Essenes, you know, Zealots, and all kinds of different Jewish groups with different interpretations of who the Messiah would be, what have you. So, you know, so many people think the Jews had one holistic kind of view about Messiah and Jesus didn't fit that. No, there are all kinds of different views on who the Messiah would be and what have you. And what's amazing is that when Jesus comes on the scene, he's able to quote scripture about himself and then fulfill it before their very eyes. Now, what's amazing as well is, and this is what you need to understand, there were all kinds of strange oral traditions that they held, as though they were the Word of God. Do you understand? They put man's word. Jesus said, "You teach the doctrines of men as though they are the commandments of God." And thereby, he says, you nullify, this is also in Matthew 15, it's like Mark 7, you nullify the Word of God. You make it of, as the King James says, of none effect. In fact, the Word of God has no effect on someone if you trap them with your traditions. And that's why Paul says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through the philosophies of men." Empty deceit. Think of Darwinism. Think of how many people have been trapped by Darwinism. Because we see variation. We see that God's given us the capacity to adapt. Amen? Thank God for that. Amen? That we can adapt. Otherwise, we'd all just die. They changed that to mean that everything evolved from one initial organism into everything. Where's all the species that are halfway between something right now? You know what I'm saying? We got billions of, you know, hundreds of millions of species. Yet, because people don't want to believe in a creator, they say, they propose a theory, and all of a sudden, people start accepting the theory, and then all of a sudden, the theory is, they start leaving out the word theory, right? And all of a sudden, people just accept it, and then all of a sudden, they're bound by a theory, and they're kept from the living God who made them, and they're blinded to the reality of the fact that this didn't just all happen, and everything didn't just come out of nothing by accident.
You're listening to a message by pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings.
Now, there are scriptures that tradition, as I said, is not bad as long as it's not contrary to scripture. In fact, let me read a couple verses. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us." 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep aloof from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you received from us." Now, is there a contradiction in Scripture here? No. What would be a tradition that they would hear by word? We're talking about the New Testament now. It would be in accordance with what? The Word of God. Amen? The Bible says if they speak not according to your word, there is no light in them. Okay, that's, Isaiah 8:20, 8:19 and 20. And everything's supposed to be tested by the word of God. And the scriptures make that quite clear. So now keep in mind, the New Testament was still being written. So a lot of things that were being communicated, the truths that were being given to the apostles, sometimes they were communicated through letters, and sometimes they were preached. They preached everywhere. But they never contradicted the word of God, amen, whenever they gave a truth out. Now, It's important to understand that because Jesus draws the dividing line. What's the dividing line? Let's go back to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. What did he say? What did Jesus say in verse 8? Neglecting the what? Commandment of God, you hold to the traditions of men. Right? He says in verse 9 that you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your traditions. Then he gives them an illustration of this as to how they encourage young people not to help their parents out by just saying things are dedicated to God. And they have license to just keep and hoard things and keep them from their parents. How wicked would that be, by the way? Consider that, because most of you have parents, right? Not all of us, but most of you, most of us. As we get older, you know, we need to also consider, and our parents get older, we need to consider them. Now, it's interesting, verse 13, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. When do we know a tradition is unbiblical? When it invalidates the scripture, when it makes the scripture seem invalid, when it puts itself higher than the scripture, or when it contradicts the scripture, or when a body of men claim that their traditions and their oral beliefs trump the word of God, or they have higher authority than the word of God. That's how cults operate, by the way. That's how, Charles Taze Russell, they put their prophecies above scripture. That's how Joseph Smith, put his word above scripture and says that the Bible is only accurate as long as it goes along with me. That's what Islam does, and it's duped over 1 billion people on the planet. Almost a fourth of the planet have been duped by Islam, which teaches that the Bible is the word of God, but it's only the word of God when it matches the Quran. However, which came first, folks? The Bible by a long shot. You don't judge the real on the basis of a counterfeit. You look at the original article, right? And then you judge what comes later on the basis of that. And it's heartbreaking to see so many people are being deceived by all these different false beliefs because they're not going to what God said and what God's revealed to us. Praise God, we have the word of God and we need to treasure it, amen? Be thankful for it. We go to the scripture in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15, 16, and 17. All scriptures inspired by God, amen, and given for correction, right, and teaching in righteousness to equip us for every good work that we could be sufficient in following the Lord. It's praise God we have his word. Verse 14, after he called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand. Now, he's going to clear it up because the crowd's probably mumbling about how come Jesus and these guys aren't following the traditions of the elders. Right? There's some confusion. Verse 15, Jesus says, there is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him, but the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from the outside cannot defile him? Talking about what your context is eating right here, folks. Okay, and what you're eating doesn't spiritually defile you. Because it does not go into his heart, but into his what? Stomach, and is eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean. That's interesting. Thus he declared all foods clean. And he was saying that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, and as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. So Jesus is really after the heart. Notice this again. What did he say to the Pharisees? He quotes Isaiah against them, that their hearts are, that they proclaim him with their mouths, but their hearts are what? Far from him, amen? He says that earlier. Then what does he say here? He emphasizes what comes out of the heart, amen? Jesus is always after our hearts. Jesus is always after our hearts. That's what keeps us from becoming Pharisees. And I emphasize this because when I read in the Bible about these Pharisees and then being so prevalent in Jesus' day. And then I read that in the last day there will be a form of godliness that denies the power thereof, the power of the Holy Spirit and God working in our lives. I want to make sure that we do not fulfill that ugly typology of how a lot of people will be in the end times. And if we're not going to be Pharisees, how are we going to not be Pharisees? Number one, we're going to put God's word above human opinions and traditions. Amen? And number two, our faith is going to be heart Christ-centered and heartfelt rather than just a bunch of ritualistic traditions. Amen? It's very, very important that we understand that God is after our hearts, because there are all kinds of professing Christians who are on their way to hell. They'll say to Jesus, "Lord, Lord," and he'll say to them, "I never knew you." Why do you never know them? He says, because you're workers of lawlessness, right? You did not do, he says, the will of God. So we want to make sure that we're not rejecting his word and doing our own thing. And he's kind of, you know, back here somewhere and we consult him whenever we're in trouble. No, to follow Jesus, Jesus says you must what? You must deny yourselves. You must take up your crosses and follow me daily. In other words, he needs to be first in our lives. And that means we need to say, God, have mercy on me and help me surrender to you and your will and put you first in my life. Now, what I find very, very interesting is, remember how I was saying everything's inverted? What I think is interesting is churches that love truth, love Jesus, and want to be true to his word are the ones that are called Pharisaical, legalistic. You ever hear that? Why are they called legalistic? Because if they're serious about God's word, is being serious about God's word what the Pharisees did? Yes or no? No. They were the ones who went by human opinions above God's word. Who are the real Pharisees? Will the real Pharisees please stand up? I'm sure it said a blessed hope. I know it is of somebody. Oh, they're legalistic. Why? Because we preach the word of God? Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you what? Your truth will set you free. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I don't know of anything more liberating than Jesus and his word of truth. Amen? And I'm not going to back down from preaching it. And it's really heartbreaking because the church is in a horrific state right now because you can't tell the difference between Christians and the world right now. And that's really bad because the world's become a cesspool. And we need to stand out, amen? We need to be known by our love for one another. Jesus said they'll know you by your love for one another. And how do we show our love to each other? By walking righteously, caring for each other, having integrity, and treating each other well, amen? That's how we show love, by treating each other and caring for each other biblically, according to the New Testament. So the New Testament writing should govern our doctrine and our behavior, amen? And the Old Testament, yeah, that is scripture too. And whenever the Old Testament scripture is not part of the Old Covenant that was given just to the Jews, like, you know, laws regarding, you know, sacrifices and circumcision and the Sabbath. But whenever we see the New Testament reflected in the Old, that can encourage us morally as well. But we don't keep the Mosaic law to be saved, amen? We trust Jesus for salvation, amen? Having said that, Jesus is emphasizing here purity of heart rather than outward expression.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show. You.